Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yotes Petishai, Parashas Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. The evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 20 October 2016, webcasting from the hills of Judea, where humanity aches to create the Hitlerian dream of a land that is Judenrein, Jew-free. His idea of utopia, a world without Jews. And A World Without Jews was the name of a booklet written in the middle of the 19th century in Germany by Karl Marx. No, he did not call for the gassing and physical extermination of Jews, but for a messianic, future-oriented world, a better world, which it would become when there were no more Jews, because they had disappeared, faded into history. He linked capitalism, institutionalized greed, exploitation, and theft to warmongering with the Jews running the show. Jew bankers, like the Rothschilds, were in charge. They loved wars. That's when they made the most money. Marx saw in capitalism an outgrowth of feudalism and saw it as a transitory period toward the next stage of social development, which would be socialism. Charles Darwin was a contemporary. And then after socialism, the final utopia of communism. That's why the USSR was the union of Soviet socialist republics working toward the Elysian fields of a world-embracing communist universe. And of course, in their world of tomorrow, there would be no religion. And in public schools in the Soviet Union, children were taught atheism. That was the official religion in those public schools, just as in Muslim states, the official religion is Islam. In the Soviet Union, it was atheism, and the children are taught that religion is the opiate of the masses that is kept content to live lives exploited by the capitalist bankers. And of course, the worst religion of all was the Judaism that gave birth to Christianity and Islam. That is so much of humanity. And so in his booklet, A World Without Jews, Karl Marx, the visionary, foresaw a future when capitalism was no more. And since the Jews ran capitalism, and they didn't love the God of Israel as they claimed, but the God of mammon money, they would be, so to speak, in the future out of work. And thus would they disappear from history. Today, Marxism exists only in the musty dark corners of university departments of sociology and political science. But not to worry, something has taken its place. It's called Palestinian nationalism, which wages daily war against the racist, fascist Zionist state that daily abuses and exploits, humiliates, and otherwise oppresses the victims of their ideology, the poor, poor ancient Palestinians. And we know this from the daily aggression against Israel waged not only violently, but nonviolently in the halls of legislatures and international organizations. A major story in Israel this past week was the anti-Jew venom spit by an Israeli Jew and an American Jew in the UN Security Council session last week, specifically convened informally to discuss the settlements. Its purpose was to bash Israel for its settlement activity that are, in council members' minds, illegal in international law. That's a major anti-Jew lie in this generation. The formal title of the session was Settlements as a Barrier to Peace and to the Two-State Solution. We saw last week how absolutely bonkers many Goyim are when it comes to the Jews in the UNESCO decision last week and this week. Two dozen states were on a par with those who are Holocaust deniers. In a way, this resolution is even more monumental. The Holocaust period, the period of the Third Reich, lasted a dozen years, during which Holocaust deniers deny the deliberate murder of 6 million Jews, all ages, both sexes. They say it didn't happen, while UNESCO's decision deletes roughly 3,000 years of Jewish life in Jerusalem. In both cases, there is a denial of history, which results in a rewriting of history, and the same can be said for Palestinian nationalism, the invention of a nation claiming a history when there's no evidence of that. And what complicates the current situation of denying Jewish history are some of its practitioners who are themselves Jews. This is so strange. Some of the greatest enemies of Jews today are Jews themselves. Jew hatred denies, though, its hatred today. That's what's modern, post-Holocaust. For them, anti-Semitism is a no-no, and they claim that they themselves can't be anti-Semitic because they're Jews, and they really love the Jewish state. What they object to is the behavior of Israel toward the ancient Palestinian people, whose land they stole and continue to squat on and occupy, and to deny this ancient people its rights to its ancient homeland. Such anti-Jew Jews, in their ignorance, think that anti-Semitism refers only to Nazi-style thought and behavior. What they refuse to see and understand is that Jew hatred is a living thing that morphs and mutates from generation to generation and culture to culture and year to year. This view of Israel as an occupier of the West Bank is anti-Semitic because it is a lie. And it is lying that is at the root of all anti-Jew hate. It's down the corridors of time. In every generation, Goyim believe in myths about the Jews and their evil plans and behaviors that never, ever have a smidgen of truth to them. And as we know from history, when some Jews apostatized and became Christians or Muslims, they led the charge of hatred against the people they were born into. We know from Spain of the Inquisition, of Jewish converts who became the Jews' worst persecutors. It's believed that the family of Torquemada, who was the chief inquisitor, also was Jewish. The famous disputation at Barcelona in 1263 was between Rabbi Nachman ben Moshe ben Nachman, the Ramban, and a Jewish apostate who called himself Paul Christian, Pablo Cristiani. He became a priest, and in the disputation he argued that the Talmud was proof, he had studied some of it, of the divinity of Jesus, and therefore the Ramban also had to convert. The two of them argued before the king, Jaime, in open court, and the Ramban made kosher minced meat of him. He was so victorious that he enraged the church hierarchy. Death threats were reissued, and he had to flee Spain for his life to Eretz Yisrael. And then there was, in the century before him, the life of the Rambam, Maimonides, who as a 13-year-old boy ran out of Cordoba in Spain for his life, chased by homicidal Muslim maniacs, the fanatical Al-Muwahidun sect. He ran to Fez in Morocco, where he composed his Epistle on Apostasy, Igeret HaShmad, in which he advised Jews how to deal with Muslim barbarians demanding they convert or be put to death. Eventually, he had to flee Fez as well, but he found asylum in Fustat, the future Cairo, where he received a plea for help from the Jews in Yemen, where an apostate Jew converted to Islam and was leading a dreadful persecution of the community there. This is when the Ramban wrote Epistle to Yemen, in which he called Islam a persecutor of the Jewish people worse than history, the worst persecutors of Jews in history. Here, too, the enemy, the individual leading the charge, was an anti-Jew Jew. And so we should not be surprised that last week the Security Council listened raptly to Israeli Haggai El-Ad as he blamed the Israeli government for violence against Palestinians. He is the head of B'Tselem. By the way, it's a name beneath which lurks medieval Jew hatred, and here's why. B'Tselem means in the image of, and it's taken from the famous first verses of the Bible, when man is created in the image of God, with the implication that the Jews are treating the legendary Palestinians as less than human, which tells us that Jews are inhuman, not quite human, and in their behavior toward the victims of their national movement, especially. When Haggai El-Ad said to the council, and was thanked by a representative of the United States, the MBA, in the Oval Office, the Muslim Brotherhood agent, he said that, quote, the occupation of Palestine is unjust. Three substantive words here, three major anti-Jew lies. Occupation, Palestine, unjust. According to international law, there is no occupation. According to international law, the League of Nations mandate, Judea and Samaria, the terms used in the League's documents, is the heart of the historic homeland of the Jewish people, a.k.a. Palestine, that the League was going to create for the Jews to occupy. The League said nothing of this real estate belonging to a nationality called the Palestinians. That would have been impossible, since, to repeat, there was no Palestinian people in existence There was no Palestine in existence before the Great War. The Muslims never saw such a country. The League mandate was to create a Palestine that did not exist and explicitly saw in this the homeland of the Jewish people. So occupation is a lie in this context. It's implicit that Palestine is being occupied by the wrong people in this accusation. This is a lie. It's being occupied by the proper people. He calls Israel's occupation unjust. That's lie number three. And what is fascinating is the prominent participation in the spreading of this lie by this Jew. He's in the same class as Pablo Cristiani, the apostate whom Rambam chewed out and spit out.
בתחילה כמעה כמעה וכל מה וכל מה וכל מה שהיא הולכת היא רבה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה ואין לך אפלה גדולה מאותה השעה שלפני השחר בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה שהיא הולכת, היא הולכת ורבה, היא הולכת ורבה, היא הולכת ורבה. איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקעורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. כמו איילת השחר, שחר שבקעורה כך היא גאולתן של ישראל בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בכל מה בכל מה בכל מה שהיא הולכת היא רבה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה אפלה גדולה מאותה שעה שלפני השחר בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בתחילה כמעה כמעה בכל מה שהיא הולכת היא הולכת ורבה היא הולכת ורבה היא הולכת ורבה איילת השחר איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקעורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. כמו איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקעורה, כך היא גאולתם. איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר. איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקעורה, כך היא גאולתה של בן ישראל. איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר.
So, in the speech that Hagi El-Ad gave before the UN Security Council, he insisted that Israel's occupation of Palestine was unjust. He said it's almost 50 years, and it has to end. He urged the council to take action, saying, quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, what does it mean to live practically 49 years under military rule? Living under military occupation means living under violence, violence directed at Palestinian lives from the cradle to the grave." Close quote. You got that? Israel violently attacks ancient Palestinian infants in their cradles. See what I mean about Jew hatred and fantasies of behavior that have no basis in reality? He went on, quote, "Who can take checkpoints for half a century?" He asked this in his blissful ignorance of the truth that in every Arab state there are checkpoints, and in other states as well, where soldiers are on the lookout for enemies of the regime. He claimed that Israel constantly enacts laws that are contrary to the UN Human Rights Council. I read that and my jaw dropped so fast I thought it was going to break. UNHRC is a standard for him, an impartial judge of Israeli behavior, this council that has condemned Israel more times than all other countries put together, that has them as a special agenda item in every session. There's something very defective in the mind of such a Jew. He went on, quote, "Despite the international agreements that these settlements are illegal, the only thing which is growing are the settlements," close quote. Again, what are these international agreements saying these settlements are illegal that he refers to? As always, these agreements are not named, so listeners have no way of reading them and studying them and see how they were produced. It's a claim in the realm of Jerusalem is not holy to the Jews. It's another delusion. He said B'Tselem, that's his organization, fights against infringement on human rights. B'Tselem's job is to explain to Israel how the Palestinians live, quote, quote. We know calls itself a human rights organization, but this is incorrect. It's insufficient as a name. They see infringements on the human rights of Palestinians only and are blind to the infringement of Jewish human rights at the hands of these very same so-called Palestinians. And in defining his mission, explaining to Israelis how Palestinians live, he assumes they don't know, which is ludicrous. Israelis do army duty and reserve army duty, and they never see anything in Judea and Samaria like the lives of Arabs in Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Libya. They place Israel under a magnifying glass in search of human rights crimes while saying nothing about the lives of Arabs and Yazidis and Kurds and Chaldean Christians and Copts who get murdered in Egypt. They exhibit this way an obsession with Jews. The behavior of the Jews does not warrant. Hagi El-Ad said, quote, "Israel cannot occupy a population and call itself a democracy." You know something? With poor devils like him, I'm sometimes torn between the manifest content of their anti-Jew lying and pity for their lousy education and even stupidity. One of the things I like about my fellow Jews is their intelligence and level of education, and here is this poor young man who thinks it is impossible for Israel to be a democracy and occupy another people. Really? You know, it was for a decade after World War II, there was a full-blown occupation of Germany and of Japan. Britain, France, and the U.S. were therefore, in his mind, not democracies when they did that occupying. And even following the lifting of the initially strict occupation laws, Germany's capital was occupied for four decades, for another 45 years, with U.S. forces still based in Germany and Japan. There's absolutely no contradiction between being a democracy for citizens in a victorious and righteously victorious state and the military rule they impose upon the conquered. This El-Ad concluded by demanding that the UN take action to end the occupation. And in perfect sync with such people, not a word came out of his mouth about what would follow Israel's evacuation of what he calls, not Judea and Samaria, but the West Bank. If he thinks the people who would take over after such an Israeli exit would become friendly neighbors, he exposes more of his cosmic ignorance about the totality of life here versus the matrix of lies, delusions sloshing around in his deranged cranium. Like him in the news last week, as well, was one woman, Anna Baltzer, who runs an outfit surely backed by anti-Jews, called the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. Clearly a name, likewise, an anti-Semitic lie, not only for using the word occupation, but lying about the organization's true agenda, which is not the end of the so-called occupation, but the end of Israel itself, God forbid, as she once admitted in an interview with the virtual mosque website online in 2009. Last month, she tried and almost succeeded in Washington, D.C. in receiving a respectful hearing before a congressional committee that was canceled at the last moment when her real agenda was revealed to the organizers. According to journalist Lee Kaplan, a few years ago on Arut Sheva, she is a Jew born in 1979 in Berkeley, heaven help us, and was raised with no knowledge or practice of Jewishness whatsoever. Her real last name is not Balzer, but Pillar or something like that, and she uses or has used Balzer in order to shield her Holocaust-surviving grandmother, who so loved Israel, shield her from her anti-Jew crusade. In any case, she too, this painfully de-Judaized Jewess, pretends like Chagi al-Ad to love Israel but not the occupation. And never mind that she told the virtual mosque back then that beyond the occupation, well, which she has seen in trips to Judea and Samaria to observe the crimes of the Jews, quote, I recognize that the problem was not simply occupation but rather the creation and maintenance of an ethno-nationalist Jewish entity. I realized occupation was just one step in a much longer process, and I couldn't simply oppose one and not the other, close quote. It's fascinating. She is opposed to the creation and maintenance of an ethno-nationalist Jewish entity, but she gives no sign of any discomfort in the face of the ethno-nationalist Arab identity of 21 officially Arab states. It's only the Jewish state's existence that offends her refined opposition to ethno-nationalist entities.
ויצרי מלכת לא אל תלכי אני עוד לא מוכן להתעורר כשאת עינך לידי עכשיו זה שלכת וזה תמיד דומה ואני לאן אלך ויצרי עכשיו שער כאן כשאת עינך לצידי עכשיו זה שלכת וזה תמיד אומר אז אלך לאן שלך האמת היא אני אדם שמתגבר ורק מזה אני פוחד ורק על זה אני חושב את יודעת היטב שאת תצאי מתוך ביתי ואחר כך מהלב יצרי עכשיו יצרי
שרשרת האמת היא אני אדם
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, in the wake last week of the appearance of B'Tselem's headman, Hagi El-Ad, at the UN, this century's answer to Pablo Cristiani, official Israel lost its temper. A Labour Party MK, Yuval Mo Musli, filed a complaint of treason against B'Tselem. Ministress of Justice Ayelet Shaked called B'Tselem a disgrace. Israel's UN ambassador, Dani Dayon, took note that the UN itself contributes to B'Tselem and asked the UN to stop doing that and stop pretending it's some kind of neutral human rights organization instead of an active enemy of the state of Israel. I don't know what Dani Dayon said, if anything, about the other speaker before the council representing Peace Now. For some reason, the founding Israeli branch could not send an anti-Jew like Hagi El-Ad to bash their country. So one Laura Friedman, head, I think, of the American branch of Peace Now, added her 2 cents of anti-Jew poison. I feel sorry for these Jews. I once debated Norman Finkelstein, and when I first laid eyes on him in person before the debate, I looked into the eyes of a zombie. I could see he had not an ounce of fellow feeling for fellow Jews. Like Noam Chomsky, his role model and a friend of his parents, his was the voice of a Jew dead to Jewishness and Jewish life. He sort of gave me the creeps for that, the emptiness in his eyes. And so I assume so would Laura Friedman if I ever met her, this American woman of Jewish extraction, like this Anna Baltzer, whose whole identity is wrapped up in broadcasting to the world, "Do not identify me with those Jews in Israel that the whole world hates." I remember the first time I saw George Soros interviewed on television, I think it was on the NewsHour on PBS, in which he was identified as a Holocaust survivor by the interviewer, but then Soros interrupted him in order to make clear he was not to be identified as a supporter of Israel. It was an unprovoked interruption, since the topic for discussion, if memory serves, was the economy, he's an investor, and had nothing to do with Israel. One can only speculate on the roots of such behavior. People call such people self-hating Jews, but my late friend of blessed memory, New York journalist Sidney Zion, rejected that term. He said such people do not hate themselves, they love themselves. They hate Jews. And there's much to that view. One component of this kind of spiritual autoimmune system disease, the denial of the people one was born into, is likely to be, I think, fear and even trauma, so intense at an early age that they want the world to know they must not be included in the hated group. And they are driven to advertise their hatred of Jews, just like those who want to murder us all the time, in order to defend themselves. Perhaps such types, when first learning of the horrible history of the massacres of Jews in every generation, they were at a particularly vulnerable moment and became so traumatized by the stories they wanted out of that targeted group that the world hates so much. In any case, all of them suffer not only from this ugly siding with their people's worst enemies in this generation, the savage, barbaric Arabs and Muslims, their handicap is matched by this profound ignorance of the situation here as it really is. For example, that there's an occupation, that there is an international law against such Jewish life in Judea and Samaria, that Israel enforces an apartheid system. When I'm not angry at such people, I pity them.
Mismor le David Hashem roi lo echzar Bin ot deshe yarbitzeini Al mei menuchot yinaleini Nafshi yeshover yancheni Dmag le tzedek leman shmo Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet Lo ir hara אתה עימדי שבטך ומשנתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורריי, נשענת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים, אורך ימים. מזמור לדוד, השם רואי לא אחסר, בנאות דשא ירביצני, על מי מנוחות ינעלני, נפשי ישובב ינחני במעגלי צדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע, כי אתה עמדי. כי אתה עמדי. שמן ראשי כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים, לאורך ימים.
Okay, that's it for this one program during Chol HaMoed this year, as I like to try and do. And I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath and Simchat Torah. I'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, Shabbat Shalom, V'moedim L'Simcha, from the hills of Judea.